Hey, this is Pat Shand, writer of Robin Hood, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Pat Shand, recurring guest.
Just the best idea ever.
Don't.
Oh, but the little hands and the hair.
Hey, you're fired.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 307. I am, of course, TFG on Mike, and we are doing another convention recap. This will probably be our last major one of 2022, seeing as how sort of kind of really New York Comic Con is the final big show for Reed Pop, at least I think it is, or it used to be. And of course, joining me is this will be the fourth time I've had the pleasure of talking with him. I talked with him in 2015, 2017, 2019. So we were all odd at first, and now it's even. So it's kind of evened out that Pat Shand is back here on the Geekcast Radio Network. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you for having me again for time number four, man.
Absolutely, man. This is awesome. This is great. So what 2019, we did the Way of the Comic Book thing where I just got your opinion on comic books and things like that. So it was more of just a general pullback episode.
Yeah.
The first two interviews, the first one we talked about your time at Xenoscope. The second one we were telling you at that time in 2017 you were doing Clonsters and Destiny NY. What in the hell have you been up to?
a lot, you know. I mean, some of the same stuff, some of that stuff in a different way. I am still on Kickstarter. I'm doing a large amount of my work through there. I run the publisher Space Between Entertainment. Still doing Destiny New York as our flagship title right now. Even we have volume 6 is on Kickstarter live right now for let's see, today's Wednesday, so two more days. And that's been great, you know. It's Kickstarter is my favorite platform to make comics. It is, it's totally transformed my career. You know, I've done now I think 24 projects through Kickstarter.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm still doing work for hire. I'm still doing some stuff for Xenoscope here and there, and just keep making comics, going to cons, doing podcasts, talking to you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are a native New Yorker, correct? If I remember,
yeah.
Okay.
I grew up on Long Island, in Nassau County most of my life, moved to California, San Diego for a while, for 2 years there. And now I am back in Long Island for the past, I think, maybe 7 years or so.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So New York Comic Con is kind of a thing for you then, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, that was always the big show for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friends and I would go there. That was the first show where I was starting to, you know, see that I could use conventions as a means to meet publishers, to talk to editors, or maybe to, you know, transform my career and life.
Absolutely. Hey, man, you know. Whatever works, whatever's going to get the job done. So New York Comic Con 2022, did you go for all of the days? What was it, Thursday to Sunday?
Yeah. Okay. I was booting there. You know,
okay.
Last year actually was my first time doing an Artist Alley booth.
Mm-hmm.
And this year I split a booth with Emily Ree. She was gracious enough to offer me half of her table. Because in the past, you know, when I was appearing there, I would appear at publisher booths, but you know, the past, I'd say like 4 years or so, I have been, you know, going to Artist Alley and being a guest at cons as myself. I could sell my books that I publish, you know, and have a con presence there. Yeah. So I was there all 4 days selling the stuff. And then, let's see. Yeah. I didn't see much of the show floor, you know. I was up there a decent amount, but mostly while up there, I was talking to publishers. You know, I did my con crawl, seeing Zenoscope. I met the guys at Mad Cave, met the people at Merck, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you're kind of doing like the work thing, but you're also doing the fan thing at the same time. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on here, is to kind of get the, specifically from a comic book creator's point of view, the overall, I guess you could say, art of the Comic Con, and why they haven't changed the name since. I mean, has it gone more back to comics, or is it, because there were a number of years where it was just called Comic-Con because you had every single Brent Spiner-type celebrity showing up. I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say, you know, because you can kind of tailor your experience, you know. It is, it's largely a non-Comic-Con con, that is true, you know. But every time that I go, my goal is to sell comics, to meet people who read comics, and to talk to publishers and, you know, see if I could, you know, strike some connections. So hopefully in the future I can get work with those publishers, you know? So my experience there is very comics focused, but at the same time, you walk on the show floor and it's almost like an Easter egg hunt finding the publishers. You do find a lot of comic shops who are, they have booths there. They are, you know, selling these boxes of like half off trades, that kind of stuff. You know, you have mainstream stores that have retail spots there. But largely, yeah, you know, it's media. You have probably the biggest and most visible IP there was Dragon Ball Super. They had people were wearing the Gohan hair, the Gohan Beast hair from the new movie, the silver spiky hair as a cardboard, you know, kind of headpiece thing that they were giving out for free. They had a lot of video game booths. They had a Stranger Things Demogorgon, you know, this huge statue. It is largely, you know, a mixture of what you would expect from something called Comic-Con that is comic focused, but also very, very, very strong focus on, I mean, geek media, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the, from your perspective, how are they still doing COVID type precautions? How was the layout of the place for all 4 days? Was it good? Was it bad? Was the food in the, was the food section in the right place, or did you have to, like, you know, run around a corner or something like that? Kind of
thing? All good stuff, man. Yeah. All interesting questions, because, you know, the COVID thing, I feel like, is probably the new way for cons of this size, you know, because they put out the statement that it was going to be, masks required. And I feel that they put out that statement to kind of protect themselves, because in actuality that wasn't enforced at all. You know, I would say it was probably about maybe less on the show floor, maybe 10% wearing masks on the show floor, and maybe 20% in Artist Alley. And it very, very low. And I mean, it's clear that the people going have chosen, you know, they don't want to wear masks, but they did, you know, the con put out a statement saying that they were going to have people have to do it. So they did not follow through there. But I just don't see it really with this number of people not wearing it. It would, it's kind of hard to enforce, to be fair to the con, because I mean, it's such an overwhelming percentage of people that didn't do it. You know, I haven't seen this. Like, I mean, like, for example, last New York Comic Con 2020, they had a similar policy. They enforced masks, and they required you to show a vax card, right? Which is a more intense policy. But people that went were largely masked up. You know, like, people would remove their masks for pictures and stuff.
Right.
But it was a different time too, you know, and people still were wearing masks. Here it was just in such mass that people weren't wearing masks. I couldn't imagine what enforcing it would look like, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that I did see is these articles critiquing the con for not enforcing it. But at the same time, I think you kind of had to be there and look at it. And I just can't wrap my head around how it would be enforced with that number of people, you know?
So how do you know off the top of your head what the layout, the square footage of the place was to versus how many people was there?
Oh, no, like, no clue whatsoever, no.
Okay, so they didn't have, did they have, like, record attendance? Was there, like, I mean, more, I assume there's more than 1,000 people there. With every, I just, like, scrolled through half the guest list, and I'm seeing not just comic artists, but like you said, the media people, you know, the geek culture stuff. It's like, holy crap, they have all these guests here, and I'm thinking the people that want to go, there's probably going to be more than 1,000 people at this thing within the 4 days.
Oh, I mean, there's probably more than 100,000, you know? I mean, 1,000 I'd say would go to a local convention, but I mean, this, you know, it's, you know, it's, I think, the second biggest pop culture event in the world.
Next to SDCC,
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's a lot of people, but it is, you know, this year felt closer to a pre-COVID San Diego. Well, not San Diego, New York, but you know, last year was noticeably slower. You know, last year it felt like, you know, maybe 75% or maybe even 70% of the people who were supposed to be there came, and the 30% maybe called out last minute, you know, so there were empty tables there last year. And the crowd seemed very manageable for a New York Comic Con last year. This year felt as if it were close to back to normal, but still not quite. A normal New York Comic Con is a huge chore to get through. This was still a chore to get through as far as walking from aisle to aisle, but it wasn't as overwhelmingly insane as the past. So it's not fully back to what I would say is a standard New York Comic Con at its height, but it is very close.
So according to their, to the ReadPop website, what I'm seeing, and I don't think this is this could be specific to this year. I'm trying to see if it is, but I have a page up here that says the attendance 210,000 plus, exhibitors 670 plus, press 8,000 plus, media impressions 16.2 billion, and social media following. So the attendance, I don't know if 210,000 people. Like, did you, when you were there, like, how, like, in your circle, in your area that you were at, that you went, like, how busy did it feel to you?
It felt busy. Yeah. I mean, it felt busy. There was always someone passing by when you were on, you know, going to the show floor. Because one thing that I love about New York Comic Con is their separation of Artist Alley from the show floor. Even San Diego doesn't do that. San Diego, you walk far enough from the show floor and you're in Artist Alley. And that is a disservice to Artist Alley. In New York, people who want to go down to Artist Alley are going to Artist Alley. There's a huge banner that says Artist Alley presented by Comixology. And you go downstairs and there's a huge, huge showroom that has the Artist Alley section. So the separation there is a major, major help to make sure that the people who you're seeing in Artist Alley are people who want to be finding you, you know? So it's a bit calmer down there than the show floor, because the show floor is essentially everything else. You know, it's video games, publishers, TV stuff, everything is just a mix up there. Small presses up there. It's a different vibe when you go from upstairs to downstairs, but both are still insane. You know, like the show floor is just a very unique level of insane, but Artist Alley, you know, it's still more popping down there than any comparable convention. You know, like I would say Baltimore is a big show. Heroes Con is a big show. But still, New York is just a special kind of beast.
It's very much a state of mind.
Yeah, definitely.
And I am looking... Now, out of everything I've tried to research before we did this, the fact that Wikipedia is the one that I can go to for actively interesting numbers that actually have citations next to them, they don't have anything listed for this year, which, for those that don't know, and I didn't say it at the beginning of this episode, October 6th to the 9th of 2022 is when New York Comic Con was this year.
Right.
Last year... According to Wikipedia, who have it archived from the original, whatever the hell the original, I don't never heard of that website, but last year was 150,000 people. October 3rd to 6th, 2019 was 260,000, which was their biggest ever. And this is all at the Javits Center.
Yeah.
And so talk to me about that, because I don't – it's been a long – I'm sorry, I bow before your New Yorkness, but I'm a Bostonian, damn it. Like, you know. Yeah. But I don't know everything about the New York stuff. So the Javits Center, how – I guess I could technically just look at the Wikipedia article. But, like, how big would you say it is? Like, I mean, it is huge.
Yeah, it's huge. What I would say sets it apart, though, is the size of the show floor.
Okay.
You walk in, you know, I've been in many convention centers and, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of like an airport, you know one, you know them all, you know, some are better or worse than others. Javits has a lot going as far as it has a lot of different floors. I'd say mm-hmm. probably the overall center itself, if I were to guess, it's smaller than San Diego. San Diego feels overwhelming as far as the size of the convention center. It feels insane going from show floor to panel at San Diego. New York Comic Con, it feels a bit more condensed as far as where certain floors are regarding panels are to the show floor, to Artist Alley. That feels right. easier to navigate with the size mm-hmm. of the show floor itself.
Okay.
It feels huge.
So according to this, 3,300,000 square feet total for enclosed space.
Yeah.
The exhibitor hall floor is 840,000 square feet. That's a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean it's big.
I mean, for let's just take the overall, the 3 million square feet, like 210,000 people seems like a lot smaller than what 3 million square feet can, like that number of people, like it just seems like there would be more room. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's, you gotta look at it this way too. It's the panel area is mm-hmm. not going to be overflowing with people the way the show floor is.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
It's like, that's like a line of people and they're all going there for a specific reason. There are multiple floors that aren't really even active as far as, you know, people okay. seeing stuff. It's just, there's small restaurants where people line up for food, for coffee. I mean, I spent a large amount of time on lines for Starbucks for me and Emily, you know? Yeah, it's just insane. Because most of the action is happening in one place, you know, there is yeah. action happening in Artist Alley. That is true. There's a lot of people down there, and because it's a smaller show floor than the main show floor, it can even be a bit harder to navigate sometimes. However, the main action happening on that show floor is what you would picture New York Comic Con to be. It's a massive crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I never thought it wasn't massive. I just didn't realize how massive it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, for sure.
So what projects were you promoting this time around?
The big one was my new book that I received it in September. It's a newer Kickstarter book. It's called Smoke Weed, See the Future. It is about a seer who develops a strain of weed that allows people, when they smoke it, to see what she does, which is the future. It's a comedy fantasy, and it has been it did well on Kickstarter, and now I'm going to testing to see, you know, how much of it I bring to conventions, because cons sometimes have a different audience. Like kids books, for example, don't work on Kickstarter very well, but sell great at cons. This title, along with my title Gangster Ass Barista, was a great success at this con, because people, I would notice that they would pass by and they would see the title on the book, look at it and laugh. And that kind of like instant understanding of what the book is through the title, and a sort of like inside joke immediately between myself and the person passing by and seeing the title, worked very well to bring people in. It kind of removes the need for an elevator pitch. So that was my big focus during this con, trying to like really kind of see how my idea with this title works in practice, and also just, you know, promoting the staples of what I do, which is Destiny New York, which is Afterglow, and books like that.
Yeah, yeah. How many is Gangster Ass Barista? Just one volume, or is it more than one? I'm sorry.
No.
There's been a lot going on lately, so.
Yeah, Gangster Ass Barista is currently one volume. Plan is this. We're going to put out single issues through Black Mask starting in November. So we're working on that now. We're going to serialize the original series as a 3-issue miniseries. And then we will think about and see the numbers there and make a plan for a second volume. It could either be something that we do direct through Black Mask first and then put on Kickstarter for the trade, or we could do it just the traditional way that I've done before and kickstart the entire volume, volume two, and then when that's done, serialize it in stores with Black Mask. I just kind of want to see how those singles do to see if there's a way to, you know, try something a bit different next time.
Yeah, yeah, just to see how well it performs or if it performs that way. It's, you know, you always got to try something.
Right.
All right, so what was your favorite thing from, I'm going to ask you for all 4 days. So what was your favorite thing from day one from the convention?
Oh, I mean, this is going to be kind of hard to answer as far as what happened on the 4 days. It's kind of hard to separate it, you know, because it all blends together. Let me I'm trying to think of day one as the first one, like the setup, the early stuff. This is going to be kind of like inside baseball, but what?
That's the point.
Come on, boy.
Bart's Butterfingers, the whole Butterfingery.
Hit a homer, dude!
No! Crispity, crunchity Butterfinger from Nestle.
Nobody better lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
Best thing on day one was seeing my booth mate Emily Ree put her booth together. How she did it, the choices that she made, the way that she built it as not a flat surface showing books only, but she built it into this sort of like tiered art piece where she had, you know, books above the table on this sort of shape that she built with these planks. And she themed her outfits to the booth. She was able to really turn it into a visual experience, and seeing her do that and seeing how she, you know, crafted something memorable for the booth rather than just use it as a display was really interesting to me. And it's something that I want to see if I can replicate in my own way for my booths in the future. Because I sometimes do my booths as Pat Chand. I have publisher booths with Space Between. And I really want to sort of elevate how we do things. And seeing both how she does things and then the next day how Zenoscope does stuff now, in a different way, was very interesting to me. So that's day one best thing, Thursday. Let's see. Friday, I did a panel. So I'll cite that as my best thing. I was on a panel with some great creators, including Amanda Connor, who was awesome to meet. Incredible artist. The panel was for Kickstarter. We talked with Kickstarter, Oriana from Kickstarter, the comics rep, about our journey, about what works on Kickstarter and what doesn't work as well. And we answered questions from people in the audience, which was really cool. Let's see. Saturday, By Saturday, I was very tired. after the show, I went to a strip club called Sapphire 39, and that was really cool. That's my best thing.
There you go.
And then on
not convention related, folks.
I mean, is it though? You know, like people travel for these things.
Yeah,
and you
know, yeah.
Local fauna. You know.
Absolutely.
All right. So Saturday best thing for real, I would say I spent more time with Zenoscope on Saturday, so it was cool. You know, catching up with Ralph and Joe, talking to Casey and Noah, and just seeing the whole Zenoscope crew, because, you know, one part of conventions is that you'll see people who you've worked with for years at these things who you don't always get to see. So it's always nice, you know, checking with them and seeing them. And then Sunday, my favorite thing about Sunday was that I used time to forge new connections. I talked to people at Mad Cave. I talked to people at Merc Publishing, and, you know, I used that time to invest in my own career with conversations, and also as a publisher to find artists, you know. Artist Alley
is
such a great, great way to meet incredible artists, especially at a con like New York. Sometimes at the local cons, you're pretty lucky if you find one or two standouts. New York Comic Con, everyone's a standout, you know, so it's a cool place to meet incredible artists for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you would think, because like we've already said, it's one of the two biggest of each year.
Right.
And yeah, man, that's awesome. So you're working most of this, but did you have any time to look at the show floor? Did you even go to the show floor? I mean, I know you said you're mostly in Artist Alley for the most part, but
yeah. Well, the show floor had the publisher booths, so that's where I saw.
Though, like, just as a fan of the rest of the stuff, when you weren't catching up or when you weren't trying to cultivate those new connections, did you have a time as a fan there?
No, 100% no. And that's true in general of cons. Like, the most that'll happen is that if a convention launches near the same time as a new Pokemon card set, you know, I'll go up and look for a few people selling those. Or if I want to get a souvenir for someone, I'll do a brief little con crawl. But the truth is that no, you know, I used to buy so much. I used to leave conventions, my back aching with bags full of graphic novels. Hoy, come on, buddy. He's just on my laptop now. all right. So, I used to do all that stuff. But the truth is that there were times where I would end up doing like three cons a month, and it became normal to me, you know. It became normal to me to have access to all this cool stuff. So I stopped kind of looking into it and like checking out it from a fan's perspective, because what became a bit more abnormal, especially at a con like New York, was the publisher access, because publishers don't really go to all the smaller cons. So
right.
What's exceptional to me about New York is that access. So no, I did not get that fan experience, but I've also, and people might see this as like sad, but it's just part of doing what we do here is that I didn't really look for that experience either, you know?
Yeah. But like you said, you were there to work, but I figured, you know, at some point or another, you may have like 15 minutes to go check out your favorite action figure booth or something like that. And if you didn't, you didn't, that's fine. And like you said, you were there to work, you were there to do everything else. And honestly, conventions, I mean, you were there for all 4 days. Even in 4 days, I don't think 4 days is enough for every, you know, you always hear about, and it's worse now than it was 30 years ago, but Disney World. You can't do you can't do all of Disney World, Epcot, and all of that. You cannot do all of that in a 4-day weekend. You just can't. Yes. It's impossible. Same thing with these conventions. Like I said earlier, when I was looking at the guest list, I'm like I just started scrolling. I didn't even I was slow scrolling, looking at each name to see if I recognized the guests that they had this year, and then I just. You know, as we started talking, I'm just like fast scrolling. Like, oh, I caught my eye on that. Like, because there's so many and so much to do. You really do with any convention, not just New York, but you really have to focus in on what you want to get done. And
right,
you know,
I mean, it's what I would say though is that at New York Comic Con, there is no such thing as like a 15-minute check-in on something, you know? the size of it prevents that. And that's part of why I don't do it, especially at this con. I mean, for example, when I would go and get coffee, that would be at least a 45-minute trip. The line was insane. It's just everything that you could possibly think of that could be quick. Because of the amount of people doing everything that you can imagine there, it's just so, so slow.
Yeah. Well, I've had my buddies Chris and Matt on here. They did Emerald City and Rose City out there in the Pacific Northwest and in Seattle and in Portland. And Matt, he would be a runner for people. So if you said, hey, I want food... As long as you told him if you're allergic to anything, he would go bring you back water and, you know, snacks and whatever. We need more people like him at conventions for people like yourself and people who are, you know, working the grind for all of this. And even with the pandemic, I love that New York has always been, well... With the exception of the first couple of years, I was going to say, it's always been in October. They started doing October in 2010. The first 3 years, they did February and April and that kind of stuff. But I love that you got summer of San Diego. You got essentially fall/winter of New York, you know, because by October, it should be cooler than 75 degrees during the day.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty chilly here. There was one morning that was very cold. But I also like that it's at a time before it gets too frigid, you know, because New York gets real cold. So it's at, you know, the time right before that happens, which is good because, you know, there is a lot of walking to the convention center. It's not really one that you can drive up to, you know. Some people do, but driving in the city is an insane task, you know.
Yes, it. I love it when, and I mostly see this in fiction, but I know it's actually true. You know, New Yorkers, they walk everywhere. People in New York, you're walking everywhere. You don't drive, you walk. You go out to LA, it's like, why would I walk anywhere when I can? Because it's more obviously wide open and it has its traffic, but there ain't no traffic like New England traffic. There just isn't. People don't understand this. Like, whether it's Boston, New York, Dover, New Hampshire, or something, it doesn't matter. There's traffic everywhere.
Right.
You might as well just get out and exercise.
No, it's true. And that's. That's a great part of it, too, of doing a con like this. When you look at your phone and see how many steps you put in during one of these, it is a lot more than you would think. So the trick, though, is to not just eat, you know, horrible things during the show and, like, really kind of ruin the exercise that you have put in. I mean, just the amount of walking, even just from Convention Center to Penn Station and back to, you know, dinner afterwards, just to get certain things during the convention, it ends up being quite a workout for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So what are you mentioned the one book you're currently promoting, but what else is that the only one you're currently doing? Or are you doing more than that?
Oh, no, I'm doing a lot right now. Yeah, I have on Kickstarter, I have Destiny New York Volume 6. That is at tinyurl.com/destinyny, the number 6. This has now 57 hours to go. And then after this one, I'm going to launch right into another Kickstarter that's going to be on October 21st. I'm doing this with the guys who wrote Metal Shark Bro. This one is called Mixed Magical Martial Arts. It's a sports fantasy comedy that is about a woman. She joins an underground league fight club of magical users. So it's a little fun magic fight club book. And I'm still doing Ben Helsing for Destiny New York. I'm on my second run on the title. I've been doing that for about a year and a half now. Let's see what else. What else? I have Gangster S Barista coming in single issues from Black Mask. And of course, I have my first book, As of the Barbed, coming from Scout Comics. We did release number one already, but Scout Comics printed number one with half of its lettering missing. So they sent it they sent it back to print. So now the newly complete number one will be released to stores for free as a replacement the same day as they put out number two. So that is that's
very cool
right now, you know.
Yeah,
it's good stuff. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very, very cool.
Thanks.
Is there anything else we need to cover? Is there anything else you want to discuss about the convention itself? Is there anything else you want to bring up before I kind of close it out?
The convention itself, let's see. I mean, it has been interesting. You know, I've seen publishers at large sort of tailor their booths to New York Comic Con like none other. Zenoscope, Image Comics, IDW, the booths at New York Comic Con become a retail store where you can actually walk in. There's different displays. It's really cool. So if you ever, as a fan of a publisher, fan of comics, you know, the word on the street is, and it's been true for years, that New York Comic Con is no longer a comics focused convention. It's true to an extent. However, if you go to the con looking for an experience with comics, you will definitely find one. That experience is still to be had there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, and I'll have the links to the convention website, and I'll have all your links to all your stuff in the post. But like, I'm scrolling through, and I didn't even get to the L's before. I'm just like, okay, I got to fast scroll to see what like big names I can see as we're talking here, because there's so many guests and so many things. And I love that artist. Like, I want a convention that has something for everybody. And I want a convention that has easy, even though you're going to be maybe waiting in line or whatever, but ease of access. So like you said, the show floor is one thing. Artist Alley is another thing. There's food over across the hall or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it needs to be, the space needs to be planned out in a way where it's easily accessible for everybody, no matter what you want to do at it. And it sounds like that New York has really, really figured it out, as for, at least from this show specifically that you've said to us about, you know, how it was, and that's great. You know, conventions should be for everybody. I don't do well with crowds. 210,000 people, give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, the crowds the crowds can be intense for sure. You know, there's no denying that. You know, there were times where, especially, I mean, let me think what year it was. I think it was 2016. I was walking the New York Comic Con floor, and I thought, I don't want to be doing this anymore. You know, I mean, I was pitching to publishers and taking those meetings, and I just, it felt almost not worth it because there was just so much going on, and I don't feel that way anymore. Things have changed. But I can see it just being overwhelming because I felt it being overwhelming. Sometimes, I mean, I've told this story a million times, but there was one time where I was pitching to Black Mask before I ever got a book there. And Matt Pizzolo, who now I can call him whenever I want. That wasn't always the case. You know, like, now I've had multiple books through Black Mask. And I've become friends with Matt, but there was a time where the idea of A Black Mask book was what I thought was a golden ticket. And it was in many ways, but I was so intimidated by the pitching process. So I asked Matt at a 2016 New York Comic Con if I could talk to him for a minute, just show him some ideas. And he was on the way to a panel. So he said, you can, but make it very quick. So I was talking to him, showing him my little pitch packet. And as soon as I start, a drunk guy barrels into us and falls down in front of us and falls down right next to us, pretty much on us. And Matt like cracks into action to help this guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like having people come help all around, you know, make sure the guy's okay. And meanwhile, I'm like, this guy just ruined my one chance, you know? and the guy was fine, you know, but the time it was all done, Matt had to go. And I walked away feeling pretty dejected, like, oh, wow, like I can't control how the crowd is here. And it's making it difficult for me to do. The only reason I really came here, because back then I wasn't, you know, doing booths.
Right.
So, yeah, that was definitely an example of how the show can be overwhelming. And I was just walking away in the sea of people thinking, man, I'm not going to do this again. And it's true. For a couple of years, I didn't go to this specific show. But there's also great things about it. It's a show where before I was published, back when it was a bit slower, mm-hmm. it's still intense, but a bit less.
Yeah.
I would go booth to booth meeting these publishers before I had credits to my name, and I would leave feeling, you know, hope, this like swelling hope in my chest that this was going somewhere for me. And I was right. You know, many of those publishers I've since worked with. Mm-hmm. But I remember that feeling of leaving the con and being sad that it was over. And that is not a thing that I feel anymore, because cons, there's just so many more conventions to go to than I even realized. But I always saw New York for me as the Mecca, and kind of in some ways the end all be all con, even though, you know, that became depressing at some points when it didn't, you know, when a show didn't go my way. But no, yeah, I mean, it's such a memorable, big, amazing, intimidating show.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are about to, well, in a couple of years, they're about to celebrate their 20th anniversary in 2026. And yeah, you're right. Like, you know, looking at this the Wikipedia article, like 2015, they had, at least according to this, Cranston, Fillion, Natalie Dormer, Jack Black, and Vin Diesel. 2016, I believe, and I'm probably wrong, but I've looked at their dates of death, so I'm just going to say this as a potential fact. October 6th to the 9th of 2016 was the last convention Adam West and Stan Lee were both at before they eventually passed, sadly, according to what I've seen. But, like, you know, there's, like, 10 names in this part of the, like, it's like three whole lines, whereas, like, you know, 2015 was like one line kind of thing. And you being the native New Yorker that you are, it's your home thing. It's just like anyone who lives in San Diego Comic-Con, even though it is a little bit too big for its britches nowadays, sometimes it's still their home thing. It's like Billy Joel walking into Yankee Stadium to perform live. That's his hat. That may be the house that Ruth built, but it's going to be the house that Joel plays in.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, no, it's, you know, it's always, it's an absolute great, great, great time. So, where can the people interact with you on social media, sir?
I am at Pat Shand, just my name, pretty much everywhere. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you can find me there. For Kickstarter, I am right now at tinyurl.com/destinyny6. That's my current campaign. It has 57 hours left to go. You can go there, support the book. And with all my Kickstarters, you can get every book that I've ever Kickstarted through this campaign as an add-on. You can just buy any tier and a menu will pop up, and you can add on any of the previous books What else? As far as conventions, I will be appearing at three more this year. I have in October, I have Exotica, New Jersey. That is an adult convention where I'll be showing off my book, Thirsty. The very next week, it's Halloween weekend. I'm going to be doing Baltimore Comic Con. That is not New York size, but pretty much the closest that you can get before it is. That's a huge con. It's very artist-focused too, so that's very cool. And then in November, I believe mid-November, is my final con of the year, to my knowledge. That is Long Island Comic Expo.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. All right, folks. You can get us at geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on Twitter at geekcastradio. For the network, I am at TFG1Mike. Be paying attention to Pat, folks. He's an awesome creator. He's an awesome person. I've loved talking to him over the years and throughout all his work. I do need to catch up on reading a lot of his stuff, but, you know, that is what it is, and I'm sure at some point there's going to be, over on the pullback, there's going to be at least an entire year where 50 episodes is going to be nothing but Pat Shan written comic reviews, because it's like, holy crap, I've missed out on all this. I need to catch up.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, folks, unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time here on GeekCast Radio.
You've just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at GeekCast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.